I want to personally invite you to join me and all the other Brock stars for this year's 13th live and in-person planned stock event outside of Asheville, North Carolina, in the little town of Black Mountain. It's 1,500 acres, is loaded with wildlife, trees, trails, streams. It is a nature wonderland. And what's also a wonderland are all the incredible speakers that you get to hang with all weekend long, like Jane and Ann Esselstyn, Dr. Will Bolshewitz of Fiberfueled, Carly Bodrug, Miss Plant U, Dr. Gemma Newman is over from the UK. We have Dr. Dawn Musalem from the Mayo Clinic, John Mackey, the ex-CEO of Whole Food Market Stores, myself, Brian Hart, and a special appearance by the Plant Bros. Here's the kicker. All these Brock stars are there from Friday till Sunday, and they want to rub elbows with all of you, whether it's over buffets of Plant Strong fare for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whether it's going on an afternoon hike, a swim, pickleball, frisbee golf, kickball, cornhole, dancing. We're having live music. It's all there in this fun weekend extravaganza that we affectionately call Plant Stock. Simply go to liveplantstrong.com and then click on Plant Stock 2024 and grab yourself a ticket before they sell out. See you there. Okay, hello everyone. I'm Rip Esselstyn. This is
Jessica Hegarty. Now, it's changed since the last time.
Okay, we're gonna have to talk about that.
Okay.
And welcome to another episode of Plant Strong Snackables, where we dish on all things food, the Bite Size Podcast. So let's just dive in. So last episode, Jess, you were getting ready to get married.
I was, yeah.
And so your last name has changed. You've obviously taken on this wonderful gentleman's last name.
Yes, he is wonderful.
And so can you tell us what is your full name now?
It's going to be, it's not officially changed, but it's going to be Jessica Pastore Hegarty. So I'm scrapping my two middle names and keeping both my last names.
I like it. Mm-hmm. And where exactly did you get married?
Yes, so here in Austin, Texas, there is a very special restaurant, but it's really more of a community space. It's a sanctuary. It's a oil-free vegan restaurant. They only serve one meal a day. You either kind of take it or leave it. It's a place called Casa de Luz.
So it's well, one meal for dinner, mm-hmm. and they also have lunch, and they also have breakfast. And I've been going there since 1991. It is fantastic. Highly recommend it if any one of you happen to come to Austin, Texas. Casa de Luz stands for House of Light. And what did you do for like a meal after your wedding?
Yeah, so, or during the ceremony,
yeah.
At the ceremony. So every guest there got to enjoy, we did a soup that was a Japanese sweet potato soup with a little bit of ginger. We asked them for the Sunday meal to do their vegan tacos, which have green beans and mushrooms and avocado with black beans, steamed kale. And I was excitedly telling a lot of my relatives about the meal that they were going to have. And my mom, I kid you not, actually asked, okay, I'm going to pick up some Chick-fil-A on the way over and bring that there. I was like, no, mom, you can't do that. You got to try it. And she actually really enjoyed it.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I was there. I got to enjoy the meal and it was outstanding. And we so appreciate when we can go out and eat healthy, plant-strong foods.
Yeah.
And not have to think about it. And which brings me to the next topic I'd love to talk about with you, which is, I'm sure you've heard about it, but 11 Madison Park.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most prestigious, well-known, upscale restaurants really in the world has decided to go all plant-based. And this is big news that a restaurant like 11 Madison Park can be this bold, this creative, this innovative. And so I actually was so inspired by Chef Daniel and his decision to do this that I actually want to share with you some of his letter. This is a letter that he wrote to his community. And he talks about how the pandemic has basically brought his industry to their knees. And he had to do everything possible just to keep the lights on, to keep a couple employees. And so one of the things he decided to do was to collaborate with this nonprofit organization called Rethink Food. And in doing so, they started preparing close to 1 million meals for New Yorkers that were experiencing food insecurity. I can't imagine how many there were, you know, during this crisis. And he said it basically just changed. It changed him, like, to his soul and what was important and what wasn't important. And he wanted to take some of these learnings and apply them going forward. And so they officially opened on June 10th, 2021. And he says, and I'm going to quote, "When we reopen 11 Madison Park on June 10th, every dinner you purchase will allow us to provide 5 meals to food insecure New Yorkers. This food is being delivered by 11 Madison trucks, which is operated by our staff in partnership with Rethink Food." So he says, "We've created a circular ecosystem where our guests, our team, and our suppliers all participate." That is so cool.
That's an incredible story. And it seems like people are really responding to that. I read that their wait list is 15,000 people long. So if you're interested, good luck getting into that place. I don't know when people will be able to actually go there. You better get on the wait list now. Are you going to New York anytime soon?
I am.
Yeah?
I am in the summertime, so I'll see if I can pull some strings.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. That would be exciting.
I'll see if I can pull some kale. What he also says here is that we have always operated with sensitivity to the impact we have on our surroundings, but it was becoming ever clearer that the current food system is simply not sustainable in so many ways. And then he goes on to say, "It was clear that after everything we all experienced this past year, we couldn't open the same restaurant." And with all this in mind, he, Chef Daniel, is excited to share that we've made the decision to serve a plant-based menu in which we do not use any animal products. Every dish is made from vegetables, both from the earth and the sea, as well as fruits, legumes, fungi, grains, and so much more. And then this decision was inspired by the challenge to get to know our ingredients more deeply and to push ourselves creatively. It wasn't clear from the onset where we would end up. We promised ourselves that we would only change direction if the experience would be as memorable as before." And that kind of reminds me of all the things that we're doing with Plant Strong Foods.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chef Daniel. I just think about the exposure and the awareness that they're creating in the area. Sea vegetables. I would love to try a Michelin star restaurant's version of a sea vegetable dish. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And let me just finish here because I have just a couple more things I want to say here.
Yeah.
He says, "We asked ourselves, what are the most delicious aspects of our dishes and how can we achieve the same level of flavor and texture without the meat? And what at first felt limiting began to feel freeing, and we are only scratching the surface." And it is so true. You know, when you think about it, 99% of the food on planet Earth comes from plants and 1% comes from animals and animal byproducts. And we're so honed in on this 1% as a culture and a society that we just can't take off our blinders. And so what I love is that Chef Daniel has the bravery and the courage to take off the blinders, and now he's realizing what we have known for a long time is that this is a very vast and abundant world that's out there. So he says, "All this has given us the confidence to reinvent what fine dining can be. It makes us believe that this is a risk worth taking." And then I'll just finish with this. "It is time to redefine luxury as an experience that serves a higher purpose and maintains a genuine connection to the community. A restaurant experience is about more than what's on the plate. We are thrilled to share the incredible possibilities of plant-based cuisine while deepening our connection to our homes, both our city and our planet. I believe that the most exciting time in restaurants is yet to come. With love and gratitude, Chef Daniel. So I am so inspired by Chef Daniel and what he's doing at 11 Madison Park that we will be putting this whole letter of his in the show notes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. If you're out there, thank you, Chef Daniel. That is truly inspiring. Thanks for sharing that, Reb.
Another thing that's inspiring me right now and my whole family, and you've heard me talk about it with some of the other members of the team, we have the Olympic trials going on right now. In swimming, track and field is going to be starting soon, the Paralympics. I love this time of the year, every 4 years. And the swimming is going on right now, and I see these commercials. This is on NBC, mind you, on NBC, and I saw a commercial for Incogmeato, right? It's another plant-based, you know, meat that's out there that's trying to break into this industry.
That's a great name. First impressions, great name. I love that, yeah.
It's very, very creative of that.
Very creative, yeah. I wonder, who's the parent company behind that, I wonder? I don't know, we'll have to look that up.
Yes.
I wonder if it's like Hormel or Tyson or somebody branching into plant-based foods, because that could be really exciting if it's one of those major industry players.
Yeah.
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah. So we are kind of in the midst of summer right now, aren't we?
We are. Oh my gosh, it's 100 degrees outside. It's so warm.
And so what I'd love to talk about right now, you and I are both pretty active. What are you doing these days to be active? And I know that you've got a little bun in the oven.
I do. I've got an oil-free, plant-based, whole food, date-sweetened bun in the oven. That's right. So I've been taking it a little bit easier, but what I love to do is dance. And so I've been doing a lot of Zumba classes where I'm modifying, not doing jumping jacks. But dance is such a huge part of my life, so I've been keeping up with that. And you, of course, have been doing...
Swimming.
Yep, no surprise.
Yeah, a lot of swimming, mountain biking. That's about it. But so what are you doing? Like, so I'm sure that your cravings, appetite has increased. Yeah. What are you doing to fuel yourself besides breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Well, I would say fruit is definitely something that I'm always interested in. And being summertime, I've been really into the stone fruits. It's stone fruit season, right? Yeah. So nectarines, been doing a lot of black plums, and then cherries, of course. And not just the dark cherries, but the Rainier cherries. Have you tried those?
Oh, I love them.
They're incredible. Yeah. They're incredible. Don't do the calculation. I think a bag of cherries is like $10. And I am afraid to count how many are actually in there because I think they're like 35 cents each. So when you enjoy them, I mean, talk about luxury. When you enjoy them, don't do the math. Don't do the math.
I wonder if Chef Daniel has a Rainier cherry dish on his menu.
Oh, he should. I bet he does. I bet he does. This time of year, I bet he does.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think of, when I think of summer and fruit, I think of peaches. Mm-hmm. I think of nectarines. I think of plums. Definitely cherries right there. Go ahead.
I was going to say, have you heard? So we've also been doing a lot of melons, like watermelon, honeydew, of course. And then literally this week, I learned of something called the sugar cube melon. It's like the most delicious cantaloupe you've ever tasted your entire life, times five. It tastes to me like a tropical Skittle. I don't know if you ever ate those in your entire life, but for those of you who have tried tropical Skittles, that's what this melon tastes like. It's amazing. If you find one, buy it.
Do you have one to show us what
it
looks
so
like?
I'm so sorry. No, they don't last long in our house, but it looks like a cantaloupe. It looks like a cantaloupe is what
The thing about Skittles is I've tried Skittles, you know, growing up and stuff, and I always felt like I was getting cavities right when I was eating them, and I don't like candy that sticks to my teeth. And I've never liked hard candies or soft candies like that. So never been a fan of the Skittles. But I'll try this melon.
Okay, you should. Yeah. Be on the lookout. Go home with them.
Yeah. And then one of the things that we've been gobbling up this summer are I think these are called champagne mangoes.
Ooh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I find these just are consistently, they don't have brown spots. They have a nice, you know, that you can press them to know when they're just about the perfect ripeness to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I had these guys over, they stay with me for 2 days recently, Robbie Barbero and Cyrus Kambada. I'm sorry, I'm butchering his last name. And these guys, they are like the mastering diabetes gurus. They're also type 1 diabetics, and they're also practically fruitarians. And so we had a bunch of these in the house, and I was able to show them a way to eat these that they were like, wow, we're never going to eat these kind of mangoes any other way. And so I'm going to share this with you, Jess, right now.
Great.
And then all of you. So we're just going to kind of cut along that seed, right? So two of these slices like so. And then I want you to take that.
Okay.
We're going to get our hands a little dirty, and that's why I've given you a little, okay?
Thank you.
Now what we do is we kind of put our thumbs up near the top and just get it started, and then you literally just peel it back.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's coming right off.
See that right there?
Yeah.
And then peel it back.
Nice. Okay.
And now you got...
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yep. You're not quite as nuanced with this as I am.
Yeah, it takes a finesse. There's a finesse.
But what I love there about this is now you eat it, and it's so substantial. It's not like when you cube it, you know, the way Martha Stewart does or this. And I love to, when I'm eating fruit, I don't mind getting messy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind my hands getting dirty. I don't mind it dribbling down my chin.
It's like a mango popsicle almost. I'd put it in the fridge.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea.
Yummy.
I didn't realize how hungry I was either.
Yeah, this is great right now. Thank you, Rep.
All right.
Delicious.
So, that's one of my favorite things right now. Also, you mentioned cherries. I love getting frozen cherries and putting like the dark cherries and then putting those in my cereal or my oatmeal.
You put them in your cereal? Well, I actually, with those frozen dark cherries, if I don't have ice cubes, I'll use it to cool some sparkling water and maybe put like a splash of juice, like a splash of 100% pomegranate juice. Have a nice little spritzer with those black cherries, and then you get to eat them at the end.
That's right? Nice.
Those are so good. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
I'm glad you reminded me of that. So, you know, now that it's summertime and it's hot out and we want something that's very refreshing, there's nothing to me as refreshing as putting in like strawberry slices or maybe a peach or something that as you're drinking your ice-cubed cold water, you can also then bite into a little piece of strawberry or cherry or something like that.
Yes, yum. That sounds so good right now.
Yeah, summer yum.
Summer yum. Love it.
Summer yummy. Okay, let's also talk about when I think of summer, especially growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, I also think of campfires, right? And going to camp and s'mores. And just so you know, I love s'mores so much that the first words out of my mouth as a little human being were, more s'more.
No way.
True story.
Wow.
True story. Yeah.
You cute.
Call my mom or dad.
That is so cute.
So more s'more. Obviously, we don't do the non-vegan s'mores anymore, but my kids love the s'more. So as a treat, we do the vegan marshmallows, we'll do the dark chocolate, and we'll do the vegan, clean as possible graham crackers. And to me, it's so important that I get that marshmallow perfectly browned, bronze, because I don't want to burn it. And then you get these acrylamides that are just, you read about the acrylamides and how those can be carcinogenic. And I see my kids, and then when we have neighborhood kids over, and they just burn them right, like they're black, and they're just down.
No.
I'm like, no!
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I try to be cognizant of how much charred food I'm eating, even if it's vegetables, right? You don't want to get those carcinogens into your body, so that's a great point. I think I've eaten a lot of burnt marshmallows in my days, though. I'm not as good at it as you are. Leave it to a former professional firefighter to have a really good technique.
There's certain things that I'm extremely patient with. Mm-hmm. One of them is creating and building my Rip's Pig Bowl in the morning, and the other is making perfectly bronzed marshmallows.
Rip's a pro. You heard it here. That's awesome.
Yeah. So should we talk about another, snack that we love, which is popcorn?
Yes. I would absolutely love to. So last week on the podcast, we talked about our granolas, which launched this week. and seemed to be very exciting. We also launched our Plant Strong popcorn. And the beauty of these popcorns is actually in what they don't have, right? They're free from oil, they're free from salt, and the beauty here is that they're a perfect canvas. And so we want to encourage the community. You know, there are some people who just put a little salt, a little bit of nutritional yeast. But what we want to talk about today are some really creative ways to use this blank canvas and encourage our community to embrace their inner Picasso, or maybe Jackson Pollock is a better example, and come up with some really creative ways to doctor up this popcorn.
Well, I am all ears.
Okay.
And my mouth is starting to water.
Yeah, I have a whole bag of tricks over here that I'd love to get into. But first, let me start by asking you, how do you guys do popcorn in the Esselstyn household? What does your family like to do?
So we just, obviously, we throw it in the microwave. Mm-hmm. And then we will either do nutritional yeast or we'll do a spritz of low-sodium tamari. Those are pretty much the two most popular methods we have right now. We need more ideas.
Okay, great.
You got something for
me? Yes. Hopefully this will inspire. So you guys have never done like a movie night trail mix where you're adding in nuts and dried fruit? No?
No, never even thought about it.
Okay.
Till just this second.
What about popcorn on a salad?
No.
It's a thing. There are whole grains, right? It gives it a little bit of crunch. I can appreciate that. Well, Rip, last night I found an article on thekitchen.com with some really creative uses for popcorn.
Yeah.
I've listed 5 unconventional options here, and I want you to tell me which ones you'd be willing to try.
Okay.
And which ones are a bit of a stretch. Okay, so yes, I'd be willing to try it, or no, that's too much
of
a stretch.
Well, first let me say, I'll try anything.
Okay.
Right? But I'll let you know, I don't want to try it. It doesn't sound that great, but I will try it.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a plan. All right. Number one, popcorn granola bars. So these are granola bars made with popcorn, oats, almonds, raisins, date syrup, and sea salt.
I'm in.
Sounds good, right? Yeah. I want to try that. The recipe's online, just FYI. Okay. Popcorn as croutons in soup. And in this version, they did a cashew cauliflower soup with herbed popcorn topping. How does that sound?
I'm in.
Great, me too. All of these sound delicious so far. Okay, number 3, popcorn cookies. So you've heard of cornflake cookies where you get a little extra crunch by adding in the cereal. Same concept. What do you think?
I'm in.
I know. I really want to try those too. Do we have a good Plant Strong recipe for cookies? I need to look that up and see if we can incorporate popcorn.
We've got, I'd say off the top of my head, we got about 5.
Okay. I'm going to try that this weekend. I'll let you know how it goes. Okay. Number 4, oatmeal topper.
Oatmeal topper?
Yep.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not super excited about it because there's so many other things I love doing on top of my oatmeal, but I'll give it a try.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. I kind of agree there. All right, here's where things get a little bit weird. Last one, number 5, popcorn salad. And this is like a cold picnic salad. So the example that I found, they use edamame. They use some diced red pepper. They used thin sliced scallions, roasted peanuts, and then it's tossed in a light sauce. Mm-hmm. How does that sound?
I will say I am in.
Yeah?
Much more in than out on that one.
Okay, great. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I thought those were all really creative. What I really want to talk about today are some creative ways that we actually doctor up the popcorn. So I've never actually done a popcorn salad. I think that's a little bit too weird. But there's a tip that I want to give anybody who's buying these popcorns online needs to come home with one of these things right here. So it's a spray bottle.
Yeah.
I got this one. It's blue glass. You can hear me tapping on it. I got this from the aromatherapy department at Whole Foods. We've been using it for hand sanitizer for the past year. I hope I grabbed the right one for demo purposes. But what I like about using a spray bottle is you can customize your seasoning And it gives it a really nice even coating, right? A thin amount goes a long way. If you're using like a soy sauce or something with higher levels of sodium, it gives this nice dispersed mist. Mm. And then also kind of makes it a little bit wet so that it picks up any of the seasoning that you add onto it later. So please, folks, invest in one of these spray bottles. Get yourself a good one and you can really do some amazing things.
I mean, I feel like I've got a bunch of Bragg liquid aminos in spray bottles.
Yeah.
You can just reuse that, can't you?
Perfect. Yeah, totally repurpose that. And even, I think it's hard to find those Braggs with the spray bottles. If you find them, stock up, because that's a great
thing. This looks like something that came from an apothecary.
Yep. Yep. I think that's what they were going for. So what I'd like to share with everyone today is, so yes, as we talked about, I am expecting, and when I say I've been craving chips, it's an understatement. These are like crazy, I'm climbing the walls, craving some potato chips. I kid you not, I actually woke up after having a dream that I was eating potato chips, grinding my teeth. I was dreaming that I was having these potato chips. And of course, I don't wanna put a bunch of fried, oily stuff into my body. I want to nourish my body. So I've been on the lookout.
And your baby.
And my baby. That's right. I don't want her to have all that oil either. And so I've been looking for chip alternatives, some copycat recipes that still give that crunch for anybody who's craving chips. But is made with whole grain popcorn, right? 3 cups of popcorn count as a day's serving of whole grains, right? So we want to get that extra fiber. We want to get those whole grains. And so the first one I'm going to talk about, my favorite chip growing up, was Lay's salt and vinegar chips. And so what I've got here today in my spray bottle is 1 part vinegar, 1 part salt. And so in this bottle is apple cider vinegar. You could, of course, use white vinegar. That's typically what's used in the Lay's flavoring. Yeah. You could use rice vinegar. You could use red wine vinegar, any combination of vinegars that you'd like. And then for the salt, you could use soy sauce. You could use tamari, which is the gluten-free option. In this bottle, do you know what I'm using? Do you know what my favorite salt alternative is? Have you heard me talk about it? No?
No.
It's ume plum vinegar.
That's what I was gonna guess.
Oh, good.
Only because I saw the bottle over there.
So I learned about this from Casa de Luz, that amazing restaurant. Yeah. They use ume plum vinegar in all of their salad dressings. It's actually what gives it the sodium. And so since learning their tricks, I've incorporated it. Everything in my house is salted with ume plum vinegar. It's not sour. So don't think vinegar, it's called that, but it's really this, it's like a mild tamari that has an umami flavor to it. It's incredible. Use it for stir fries, use it for soups, use it for sauces.
Do you have any idea how many milligrams of sodium there are per tablespoon?
Let's check. So 1 teaspoon has 420 milligrams of sodium. So it's the same as your soy sauces. Yeah. It's the same, but a little bit goes a long way in terms of flavor.
Well, and that's what I love about the spray bottle.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
are we gonna try this?
Let's try it. Yeah. I wanna hear what you think. So I'm gonna turn away from the microphone so I don't get any mist there. I'm just gonna spray it. All right, we'll give that a shot. And I don't know how you feel about...
It's got a nice...
It's pink.
Little pink rosy hue to it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I forgot. You can't see it here in the bottle, but ume plum vinegar is this beautiful pinkish purple color.
Wait, or do we just...
No, go for it. Yeah, let's try it.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, that's my favorite.
That so kind of jazzes up this naked popcorn.
Yeah, the apple cider vinegar. I love it. 1-to-1 ratio. It's not too salty. It's not too vinegary.
And it's okay. It was only on the floor for 5 seconds.
Oh, jeez. I also brought some dried dill. I don't know if you're interested in like a dill pickle popcorn, but...
I'll try it.
Yeah, I want to I want to add herbs and spices to anything that I can. So dill pickle popcorn sounds good to me these days. What do you think?
Yeah, that... It's just a nice another layer of flavor that's in there now.
Let's pause the podcast because I just want to snack on this for a second. Next chip alternative. Hopefully those of us...
Should I move this out of the way?
Yeah, you might want to. I'm going to keep eating it if we don't move it. Okay. Hopefully our listeners have abandoned Doritos long ago. Have you ever tried Doritos, Rip? You've tried them, right?
I never liked Doritos.
Really? Mm-mm. No?
No. I think it's because there was a time I ate a whole bag of Doritos. I got sick. And ever since then, I've never liked them.
That's probably your body trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's still the case, but I know that for a long time, Doritos was adding flex to make their chips look more appetizing. Red and green coloring that served no purpose, did not contribute to flavor, but just served to give the look and appearance of spices. I think they've since replaced it, but nobody wants to be putting that in their body, right? So, for those of you who have moved on from Doritos but still feel that nostalgic tug, I've got a great popcorn recipe that mimics the Doritos flavor. So it uses nutritional yeast, garlic, onion, cumin, paprika, chili powder, cayenne pepper, and salt. And of course, we will post all of these in the show notes so people can look it up.
Do we get to try that right now?
No, I didn't make it up. I'm so sorry. It sounds so good, right? we didn't have any chili powder, so
I wanted to revisit my old Dorito cravings that were stymied for 30 years.
Yeah. Bring that back onto the menu. One thing that I wanted to say about Doritos, I think the Doritos Locos Taco is one of the most ingenious marketing things of all time, right?
Why? What do you find ingenious about it?
So for those of you who don't know what it is, Doritos partnered with Taco Bell to create a taco that was made out of a Dorito. So the shell of the taco is just one giant Dorito. Isn't that a great idea? It's genius. They sold more than 1 million a day when they launched. I mean, this thing was just on fire. So we got to appreciate that. As much as we might not like Doritos, got to appreciate the creativity there. Maybe what would Plant Strong's version of a Doritos?
Should we do a Dorito-flavored granola?
Oh my gosh. That'll be our April Fool's. That'll be our April Fool's prank.
You know, we'll, on the team, we'll say, we've got the best idea for another granola skew.
I don't know if it's the pregnancy, but that actually sounds kind of good right now. all right. So the last copycat chip flavor that I'd like to talk about, I'd love to do a cheddar and onion popcorn. Doesn't that sound great? And of course, we're not going to be using cheddar. We would use...
Nutritional yeast.
That's right. So one of the things about nutritional yeast that's important, and I'm sure many people know this, is... The Bragg's version, which is the most popular brand, is actually fortified with B12. And of course, if you're eating a plant-based diet, you want to make sure that you're getting B12 supplements. So this is a great way to do it. Just put it on some popcorn, right?
For those that are interested, one serving size is one tablespoon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that tablespoon gives you 11 micrograms of B12.
Great. And I would also let folks know that if you're buying your nutritional yeast in bulk from the bulk section where you scoop it, make sure that it's fortified with B12. Actually, a lot of the ones that are sold in bulk sections are not. So just be sure to check.
Yeah. And our daily requirement for people that want to know, it's very low. It's 2 to 3 micrograms per day.
Great. Yeah. Wonderful. So for this cheddar and onion popcorn, you're going to fill your spray bottle with 2 parts ume or tamari or soy sauce, 1 part lemon juice to give that sour flavor that we're looking for. And then you're going to spritz the popcorn and add a sprinkle of onion powder. You could, of course, use garlic powder as well, maybe some paprika to give it some color. And if you want to go for a smoked cheddar and onion, you could use smoked paprika. I think that would be a really great combination. So again, we're going to be posting these recipes, but I really want the community to feel empowered to create their own masterpiece, have the confidence to explore. There's really the possibilities are endless. You could do wasabi. You could do kelp granules. You could do curry powder. It's kind of hard to think of something that wouldn't work for the popcorn. Any ideas, Rip?
You know, not off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that this is just, it's a testament, and also to what Chef Daniel said with, you know, 11 Madison Park, how we're just scratching the surface.
Oh, yeah.
The possibilities are absolutely endless, and it's just the only limitations are your mind, right? The creativity that is boundless in each and every one of us. Do you have another thing we're going to do?
Well said. Okay, so last one. So, of course, it's not just the salty cravings that are hitting these days. I'm also looking for something sweet and salty and crunchy and buttery. So I can't think of anything better than caramel corn. Doesn't that sound good right now? So what I've got for you today, Rip.
Now that you mention it, okay. I probably would like a peanut butter popcorn.
Ooh, interesting. That's a really creative one.
Made out of PB2.
Yes, right? That's a great idea.
So next time, let's try it and we'll see what we think.
Rip, I love it. I love it. What would we spray it with to really adhere? We'll have to think of something to spray it with.
I don't think I'd be spraying.
You don't need to spray it?
I'd be pouring.
The PB2?
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, there's this dehydrated peanut butter. Yeah. Man, you could add some dried fruits to it. It'd be a PB&J.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. I know what you could do to help the peanut butter stick better. You could use date syrup, which is exactly what we're using in this last example. So what I've got for you today, no, this isn't Yellow Bird. It's just in a Yellow Bird hot sauce squeeze tube. It's 7 dates blended in a high-speed blender with 1 cup of water. That's it. But I like putting it in the squeeze tube, of course, because you can, you know, get nice drizzle.
Are those Medjool dates?
Of course they're Medjool dates. Of course they're
Medjool dates. I don't know why I even asked. From Batista Farms?
Oh, no. Okay. I like to eat those plain. Those are too special. They're out for the season. They're not coming back till September.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
All the pain.
So what I've got here today, I'm going to drizzle some of this date syrup onto the popcorn, kind of do this in a sweet direction. And doesn't that look amazing? Doesn't it look absolutely delicious? Oh
yes,
my gosh.
It looks nice.
So with this date syrup, you could also add a little bit of cinnamon. You could add some cocoa powder. You could add a little cayenne pepper if you want to and do like a Mayan chocolate or a spiced nut, right?
Let the creativity juices flow.
Let it flow, yeah. But again, you know, we talked about dates just briefly on the last podcast. Oh no. date sweetened popcorn down. We talked about dates on the last podcast, and we forgot to touch on my favorite facts about dates. So they're incredibly nutritious. Gram for gram, they have more fiber than broccoli, blueberries, some varieties of beans. We talk about the importance of fiber all the time, right? We're friends with Dr. B, the author of Fiber Fueled, right? Fiber is so important. So dates are a really good source for fiber. They are also mineral rich. So they contain
Bunch of potassium,
more than bananas even. And they also have magnesium and copper. And then most exciting for me, studies show that pregnant women who consume 6 dates a day in their last month of pregnancy significantly reduce their risk of postpartum hemorrhaging. But most incredibly, they shorten their labor time by an average of 6 to 7 hours. So you don't have to twist my arm. I will be eating 6 dates a day. Probably even longer.
Do you know where this study came from? Is it reliable?
Yes, it is. So I actually, of course, looked this up on nutritionfacts.org.
Yeah.
They linked me to this study that came out in 2011. It's called The Effect of Late Pregnancy Consumption of Date Fruit on Labor and Delivery.
Wow.
Yeah.
So those that are expecting, go grab yourself some dates.
Oh my gosh. Plant Strong community. Do you know a pregnant lady? Yeah. Send her some Medjool dates and instruct her to eat some in the days leading up to her delivery. I don't know how it's not a thing for baby showers, like a fancy box of dates. We could call it due dates.
But
this is Plant Strong's next
That's
product.
Awesome. Yeah, get a subscription to Batista Farms and
yes,
Jewel Dates.
That's what every pregnant lady wants. She doesn't know it yet, but that's what she wants.
You know, the power of plants knows no boundaries. Truly.
Truly.
So before we close out our bite-sized podcast, sorry, we went a little over today, so you've taken on Evan's last name.
Mm-hmm, I have.
Yeah. And so why did you decide to do that?
It just felt right. Yeah, there's no real rhyme or reason. His family's amazing, so yeah. I get to be a Hegarty now. That's really special to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Rip.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jess, thank you. Love all the great ideas, and it's been a great episode.
It was awesome. Thanks, Rip. Talk to you soon.
Plan strong.